So good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for staying on this final great day of APHA, and I want to thank Dr. Chan for moderating this session. I'm really excited to share the podium here with these esteemed colleagues. So today I'll be talking about preconception stressful life events and how it predicts low birth weight in women in the United States. I want to first state that I have no conflicts of interest or no financial relationships to disclose, and I do want to acknowledge the generous funding from the federal government, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, specifically HRSA, and the Maternal and Child Health Bureau. So this will serve as sort of an outline or roadmap for what I'll be covering today. I'm going to first start with some background information to give you a context of how to interpret our study and the purpose of our study and the findings. And then I'll share with you our study aims, the methods we used, the results from our study, some strengths and potential limitations from our study, and then close with some conclusions and implications. So in terms of background, we know that low birth weight is a serious public health problem, not only in the United States, but globally. And here in the United States, low birth weight and very low birth weight occurs in approximately 8% of all births in the United States. And it actually contributes, it's a leading cause of neonatal mortality and can contribute significantly to childhood and adult morbidity and mortality. And there's actually been a rise in low birth weight in the United States over the last several decades. And this slide, this chart shows the percentage of babies born a low birth weight from 1990 through 2010. And basically what we can see is, you know, in 2010, about 8% of infants, this is around 325,000 infants, were born low birth weight in the United States. Between 2000 and 2010, there was an increase of more than 6% in the prevalence of low birth weight. So we know that poor birth outcomes, including low birth weight, are some of the leading causes of neonatal death in the United States, and as I mentioned, they contribute substantially to poor health outcomes for both children and adults. However, despite the fact that we have done a lot of research on low birth weight and have committed a lot of money and time and public health practice efforts to reducing the number of children in low birth weight, the prevalence remains unacceptably high. And so this suggests that there are other factors, there are additional risk factors that should be considered in order to improve outcomes. One of those factors may be maternal stress. And several clinical studies have shown that maternal stress is an important contributor to low birth weight. However, the timing of the exposure in relation to low birth weight remains unclear. And some of my colleagues who are in the room and I recently published a review of the literature looking at the population-based literature on maternal stress both before and during pregnancy and its relationship to birth outcomes. And we found two important things. One, we found that environmental stressors, meaning life stressors, which are like the death of a parent, divorce, major life events before and during pregnancy, were associated with worse obstetric outcomes, although there were some conflicting findings from these studies. The second conclusion we made from the study was that there really are very few population-based studies that have examined stress before and during pregnancy in relation to obstetric outcomes. So there's really a gap in the literature, and there's a need to have more studies, particularly population-based studies in this area. So this leads to our study aim, which was to determine if a woman's exposure to stressful life events prior to conception was associated with subsequent infant birth weight. And we wanted to use a nationally representative population-based birth cohort. So in terms of the methods that we used, the data for the study were from the first wave of the early childhood longitudinal survey birth cohort. This is a nationally representative sample of children who were born in 2001 and their families. Surveys for the first wave were conducted when the children were approximately 9 months old. Data were also collected from the child's birth certificate, and approximately 9,350 dyads were included in this study. Our main dependent variable in the study was infant birth weight. The infant's birth weight in grams was derived from the birth certificate and then categorized as low, very low, less than 1,500 grams, low birth weight, between 1,500 and 2,499 grams, normal birth weight between 2,500 grams and 3,999 grams, or high birth weight, 4,000 grams or above. Our main independent variable of interest in the study was the exposure to stressful life events prior to conception. Women were coded as having experienced a preconception stressful life event if they indicated that one or more of the following events occurred prior to conception. So they had to indicate that they had experienced either a death of their mother, father, spouse, or previous live-born child, had been divorced, separated from their spouse or partner, or had experienced fertility problems. We also wanted to, we had the data, and we wanted to look at stressful life events during pregnancy as well. And so we operationalized that as the death of the respondent's mother, father, or spouse, if they reported a divorce during pregnancy or a separation from their spouse or partner. We were also interested in examining a number of other covariates, including health and obstetric factors and sociodemographic factors. So we looked at pregnancy complications, chronic health conditions, whether or not they gave birth to a preterm or small for gestational baby in a previous pregnancy, pre-pregnancy body mass index, when they initiated prenatal care, infant's plurality status, parity. In terms of sociodemographic factors, we looked at the maternal age at delivery, the mother's race and ethnicity, her marital status at delivery, her health insurance status, socioeconomic status, and where she was living in the United States. Our analytic approach included the use of SAS 9.2, version 9.2. We used survey procedures to adjust for the complex sampling design. Summary statistics were generated to describe the sample, and chi-square tests were determined significant differences in sociodemographic characteristics between women who did and did not experience any preconception stressful life event by infant birth weight status. We also conducted a staged multivariable logistic regression that examined the impact of maternal exposure to preconception stressful life events on infants' birth weight status. We also used generalized linear regression models to examine continuous birth weight and the count of PSLVs to look to better understand the accumulation of stressful life events and if that had an effect on birth weight. So in terms of our results, about 20% of mothers experienced a preconception stressful life event, so a pretty high percentage. The most common preconception stressful life event was divorce, and it occurred in about 10% of the sample, followed by death of the respondent's father, 5.6%, and the death of the respondent's mother, 2.8%. 1.2% of women delivered a very low birth weight infant. About 5.5% delivered a low birth weight infant, and the mean birth weight of the cohort was 3,333 grams. Exposure to PSLEs was more common among women with very low birth weight infants than normal infants, and similarly, we found that women who delivered low birth weight infants were more likely to have experienced preconception stressful life events, as you can see in the highlighted numbers down here. This chart shows the odds of having a very low birth weight or a low birth weight infant among women who were exposed to preconception stressful life events and compared to those who were not exposed. And as you can see, exposed women were 38% more likely to have a very low birth weight infant than unexposed women, and that's a statistically significant difference. Our adjusted analyses did not support an association between maternal exposure to stressful life events during pregnancy or before pregnancy and the odds of having a low birth weight infant. In addition, we wanted to examine the cumulative effect of preconception stressful life events on birth weight. And so we actually found that there was a cumulative effect. On this slide, the x-axis shows the number of stressful life events to which a woman was exposed prior to conception, and the y-axis shows the mean predicted birth weight. And as the number of events increases, birth weight decreases, such that those infants born to women who were exposed to three or more events prior to conception weighed 627 grams less on average. So we are seeing an accumulation effect. The solid line is these are the predicted numbers, and then these are the confidence intervals here. So in summary, we found that exposure to any stressful life event prior to conception increased a woman's risk for having a very low birth weight infant. We also found evidence that stressful life events had a cumulative effect on birth weight. We also did a sensitivity analysis to better understand the timing of when things happened, and we actually found that events that occurred 1 year or more prior to conception had a stronger association with having a very low birth weight infant compared to events that occurred within 1 year prior to conception. So I want to talk a little bit about the study strengths. This is the first population-based study to investigate the relationship between preconception stressful life events and low birth weight in the United States. We were able to control for important care covariates like stressful life events during pregnancy. So we were able to isolate the independent effects of what happens in the preconception period and its effects on birth weight. However, there are several potential limitations that should be considered when evaluating our findings. First, there is a potential for survival bias. The children who died 9 months of age were not eligible to participate in the ECLSB. So our study therefore likely excluded the children with the worst birth outcomes, and that could have led to a potential survival bias, which would have made our estimates likely conservative. Second, the data were collected approximately 9 months postpartum and could be subject to recall bias, specifically if events were systematically underreported by mothers of very low birth weight and low birth weight infants or mothers of newborn infants. Our findings could be biased away towards or away from the null, respectively. In addition, the birth certificate data may under or incorrectly report some of the information that we used in this study, and that could have affected our findings. Finally, uh, one of another potential limitation is that the ECLSB collected very limited data on life events, stressful life events, and may not have comprehensively captured the spectrum of stressors that women experience across the life course. So failing to capture additional events, including adverse childhood events, may have resulted in misclassification. So what are some of our conclusions and implications? These findings really provide critical information about preconception predictors of low birth weight. Our population-based findings indicated that exposure to any preconception stressful life event increased a woman's risk for having a very low birth weight infant. And further, the accumulation of PSLVs significantly contributed to decreasing infant birth weight. So what does this mean in terms of some of the implications? I think this has a lot of implications for both clinical practice and also public health in general. First, our findings suggest that it might be important to shift the clinical paradigm upstream to the preconception period. This work supports efforts to deliver preconception care that encompasses reproductive awareness, risk screening and counseling, and health care for families in an effort to improve maternal and child health. Second, we need more research to determine whether screening for these preconception stressful life events in the clinical setting can identify women who might be at risk for delivering a very low birth weight infant. Then third, I think we need to test interventions that will focus on reducing some of the deleterious effects of stressors such as those in this study, and to help promote women in coping and building resiliency and increasing their social support, and that might be an important way to improve birth weight outcomes. Finally, although preconception care is a top priority, there's also a valuable opportunity during early pregnancy to identify high-risk women, those who may have experienced a preconception stressful life event, and we need to ensure that they have support throughout their pregnancy to reduce the risk of poor birth outcomes. I want to thank you. I do want to acknowledge my wonderful co-authors, Drs. Cheng, Wisk, and Litzelman, Deb Chatterjee, Kara Mandel, and Dr. Wakil. Thank you very much.